bless you. Appreciate it. That's Alexis, of course, her teacher, who played with her tonight. Well, it's been an absolute joy, of course, for Joyce and I to have Ben and Ashley and the girls around for these summer months. It just seems like yesterday that they came in December and spent quite a few months down in Oklahoma. And, of course, now the time has come for them to return. And we're thankful, we're glad, but it's never easy. And 5 years ago, August the 26th, Tuesday, 2007, they left for the first time to France. And now this August 26th, Tuesday, they'll be leaving to go back for their second term in Madagascar. And we're blessed that God would send a kid to a mission field. But it doesn't make it any easier when they leave. And so you pray for them as they fly out on Tuesday. Long flight, but they are excited to get back. And I'm glad they are. And he'll preach tonight and get an opportunity just to say what's on his heart and on his mind before he goes back for another 3.5-4 years. And Lord willing, to be back again for another furlough. So I think the kids are going to sing tonight. They've gotten together. And so y'all come on and sing. And after that, he'll bring the message.
My life. and make it what you'd have me be. I'm your child and you're my father. I'm the clay, you're the potter. Lord, you're the best thing that's ever happened to me.
Okay. Well, Larry's already starting it, amen. And I wasn't here to give him grief when he preached, but I wasn't here for that. John chapter 16, John chapter 16. And I'm looking forward to going back. But Larry, I'm tired of white people. You ever get tired of white people? No, anyway. Brother Bibbs is nodding his head. Yes, yes, up there. Oh, brother. But no, we're looking forward to going back. And we sure have appreciated these last few months. And it was 5 years ago, I guess, since we left. And it's a different, different feeling going back this time. The first time we went, the light at the end of the tunnel, I think it was a train, Brother Ben. But then no, I'm just joking. But we were going to a different place, too. But no, I'm just teasing about that. But it is a blessing to go back this time. And it's a whole different feeling than when we went the first time. We didn't have any idea what we were getting into. We didn't know anybody, know anything. And know the language. We knew nothing. And now we go back and there's going to be people meeting, waiting for us at the airport. That's a blessing, isn't it? And I appreciate that. And always liked whenever you read in Acts when Paul said, he said goodbye to the Ephesians, and it says that they had people accompany them to the boat. And that's what we want to be in life, don't we? We want someone, when we say goodbye, to accompany us, someone we've made a difference in their life. And, you know, if some of you were to have to move away, some of you have been teaching Sunday school or running bus routes, whatever, you'd have people come and say goodbye, and if you came back, they would meet you as well. And so that's the way you want to live your life. And thank God for that. I want to say thank you to the people of this church, and thank you for how just the kindness you've showed to our kids, and that's been a blessing. We don't have, we went up to Madagascar, we were everything. We were my wife played the accordion before we even had a piano. And I used to tease her mercilessly about that in college. Man, I was horrible to her. And then I was thanking her when she was playing it on the mission field. So it wasn't just me up there singing, you know, trying to sing in a foreign language. And that was bad. And so she was over there. And we started. We didn't have, it was just us. And so our kids didn't get, you know, King's Kids and Sunday school and all the different things, Tuesday night soul winning, they get to be a part of that. And that's a blessing. I noticed the help it's been to our kids, and I appreciate that. That's what this church is. It's a help. That's what it has been to our family. And now that's what it's been, I believe, to a lot of families in this room. That's what it's been to this community for these many years. It's been a help, and that's what a church should be. And I appreciate that. And I want to say thank you to the King's Kids workers for all that you do. And I took it for granted when I was a kid. And then when I was in high school and college, you kind of forget about that ministry. But when you have little kids, that you really appreciate the people who work over there and go through the gold cards and everything. And so I appreciate that. All of you do that. Thank you to the people who were the Sunday school teachers and so forth for our girls. I really am thankful to you for that. And I've appreciated the, you know, just being able to be a part of the church for a little bit. I know we've been in and out some, and I kind of hated that. But I have appreciated being able to be here just to be a member, just to be a part, just to sit in the class. And Brother Payne, he's up in the balcony. That's right, he's doing the sound. I want to say a personal thank you to you. The young married couples class is a tremendous class. And I think the only time I came back was when we came back from that 3-week trip when you guys brought us back home. But somewhere in there, I was able to attend the class, and Brother Jason Monkowski was the teacher. And we loved it. And it was phenomenal. It was great. And so when I came back And Brother Payne was teaching, I kind of wondered, I wonder what's going to be like now, you know, and because Brother Jason's bigger than life, you know, the big personality and humor and all that stuff. And the first Sunday I walked in, I walked in, I said, good night, this is great. I'm not just saying what we haven't said to each other every Sunday. And that's a blessing. This church is not a perfect church, but this church is blessed. And I don't care if he's my dad. This church is blessed from the pulpit. The preaching we enjoy at this church, I've been able to just sit here every Sunday and Wednesday, and it has been, God has just spoken to my heart. And I travel to a lot of churches and see a lot of places and hear a lot of people preach, and we get fed. And I've sat in the Sunday school classes, and I'm telling you what, the class I sat in this summer, we got fed. We got fed from the Holy Spirit, using somebody, the fellowship, and just the different ministries here. And it has been a blessing to be back. And so I sure appreciate our class, the young couples who are in our class, I appreciate that. I don't know if we're going to qualify for the young couple class when we come back. But I don't know for sure. But maybe we can with the pain when we come back. I don't know if you let us get in there or not. And we'll have to see how that goes. But anyways, please do pray for us. We have 10 bags going back. I was trying to keep that to 6 or 8, but I have 3 daughters and a wife and myself. We're now the chores to get everything into 10 bags. And that's what we've been doing for the last few days, is trying to figure out what is going to make it into bags. And so we've got 10 bags. And you know, when you have that kind of stuff, you want your stuff to get there, because we do buy certain things here that are cheaper here. We invested in a lot of toiletries and things like that. They're much more expensive over there. And other things, Sunday school curriculum, personal items, and then, for the first time, Becca books. And they're too heavy to go in my carry-on, because there's all these books and your carry-on can't handle that. So I've got all these books, and that's a lot of money, you know. And so we're just praying that the bags will make it there okay. One time we went there and they lost 5 out of 11 bags. So we got 4 of them back, and the only one we lost wasn't a bag, it was a car seat. But anyways, when you do think about that, please pray for us on Tuesday that we would have a safe trip, and that the bags would get there safely, please. And we do just thank you from the bottom of our hearts for what this church means to us. And we're proud and happy and blessed to be able to be missionaries from Faith Baptist Church. And I think all the missionaries in this church would say that. Brother Oswardy and Brother Lowe and the different ministries that families out of this church. And as I travel around to these churches that support Brother Oswardy and support Brother Jason Lowe and Brother Schrock and these other people who are out of the church, I may be forgetting somebody, I don't know if I am, but there is nothing but good reports from the churches that they appreciate supporting the missionaries in this church. So we appreciate your love so much, and we'll hope it'll be a blessing tonight. John chapter 16 in verse number 28. John chapter 16 in verse number 28. And we'll read a few verses here, and then we'll be done. John chapter 16 and verse 28. I came forth from the Father, and I'm come into the world. Again, I leave the world and go to the Father. His disciples said unto him, Lo, now speakest thou plainly, and speakest no proverb. Now are we sure that thou knowest all things, and needest not that any man should ask thee? By this we believe that thou camest forth from God. Jesus answered them, Do ye now believe? Behold, the hour cometh, yea, is now come, that ye shall be scattered, every man to his own, and shall leave me alone. And yet I am not alone, because the Father is with me. These things I have spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. I'm going to preach tonight on Jesus alone, out of that verse number 32, where he said, Behold, the hour cometh, yea, is now come, that ye shall be scattered, every man to his own, and shall leave me alone. And Jesus alone, we'll preach on that tonight. Dear Lord, Heavenly Father, I thank you for this church, Lord. Only we try to express what it has meant to our family since we've been back. Lord, I've tried to say the thank yous that I can think of. And I just appreciate these people. I appreciate what you've done here, Lord, at this place. And I'm just so blessed. And we ask that you would please bless this upcoming campaign. There's more people, Lord, there's a lot of people out there who are hurting, and they're not going to find the answers in so many places, but they'll find it here. And they'll find people who love them here, and they'll find you here, Lord, if they're looking for you. And so I just pray for that. I pray for tonight that you would please help me to simply be a blessing to these people, and as much as they've been a blessing to me and my family, Lord. And I pray, Holy Spirit, that you would please help me to say what you want me to say and direct my thoughts tonight, and that you would please just have your way through me and in spite of me. And I do pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. And I don't know if you're like me, but when I read this, I thought to myself, what sad words. What sad words in verse number 32 when he said, "And ye shall be scattered, every man to his own, and shall leave me alone." One of the things that you constantly face on the mission field, I think, is you constantly face the feeling of being alone. And we went to Madagascar, and we got to the capital city, and there was one of the missionary, independent Baptist missionary, there in the city at that time. And then I think a couple weeks after us arriving, then he left. And we were there in that city alone, and the closest independent Baptist missionary was about 4 hours away. And one of the things you face constantly is being alone. You feel like you're away from there. We try to stay in touch with the church through the internet and through what we hear and so forth, the messages and everything like that. But you kind of have this feeling of being alone. And the truth is, no one likes to be alone, I don't think. No one likes to be alone. Certainly we have not been deserted being away, but no one likes to be deserted like Jesus was deserted and left alone. Yet we know that's exactly what happened to him. The Bible says in Matthew that all his disciples forsook him and fled. What I was thinking about Jesus and his life and his ministry and so forth alone, I came across some things. I want to share them with you tonight. I want to say number one tonight. I want to talk about number one tonight, his great ministry alone. His great ministry alone. The first thing that happened to Jesus is he was tempted alone. The Bible says in Mark chapter 1 and verse number 12, "And immediately the Spirit driveth him into the wilderness, and he was there in the wilderness 40 days, tempted of Satan, and was with the wild beasts." He was tempted alone in the wilderness. And to be declared the sinless, spotless Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world, he had to be tempted alone. Because no one is truly tempted until they're tempted alone. It's a different thing altogether to be tempted when you're with a group of fellow Christians and when the temptation comes and you're there by yourself. And it's a whole different thing. And hallelujah, he passed the test, didn't he? The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 4, "For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin." And because he passed that test in the wilderness when he was tempted alone, he was worthy to be sin sacrificed for us. When we will sing in heaven, "Worthy is the Lamb," yes, he is worthy. Number two, he prayed alone. He prayed alone. In Matthew chapter 14, the Bible says, "And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up into a mountain apart to pray. And when the evening was come, he was there alone." Now, we don't know how many times that Jesus, the Scripture records a couple times that Jesus prayed alone. But we don't know how many times he did, but I would guess that fairly often he went out alone, away from everybody else, and he prayed. Now, we don't know what he prayed when he was there alone. His disciples were not there with him to record that. We do know what he prayed alone in the Garden of Gethsemane. He prayed for surrender to the Father's will. He prayed, "Lord, not my will be done, but thine." We do know in John chapter 17, the prayer that he recorded, as he prayed for his disciples and even for us, he prayed for their sanctification. You can basically wrap up John chapter 17, that wonderful chapter, with the word sanctification. In that chapter, sanctification would include salvation. Partial sanctification happens the moment someone is saved. Jesus was praying, not only for his disciples to be sanctified, but for the ones who would come after them, that they would be saved. Jesus was praying for his disciples to be set apart to him and to come to know him more and more. As we know, we're supposed to grow closer and closer to the Lord. He prayed for that. He prayed for them to have a close relationship with the Father. He prayed for his disciples to know the Father as he knew the Father, and to know him intimately as every Christian can and should know the Lord. And Jesus was praying for the lost. He was praying for His disciples. He was praying for the people, the Christians who would come after the disciples like you and me. And I believe that's one of Jesus' ministries still today, as He sits by the right hand of God the Father, and He is our advocate there. He prays for us. If you think that no one is praying for you, Jesus is praying for you. Finally, we know that He paid our sin debt alone. Go over to Hebrews chapter 9. Hebrews chapter 9. Quickly, you can hold your place in John 17. Hebrews chapter 9. He paid our sin debt alone. No one else could do that, and He could not do that with anybody else. He had to be alone. He was our high priest, the Bible calls Him. Look at Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 6. Now when these things were thus ordained, the priest went always into the first tabernacle, accomplishing the service of God. But into the second went the high priest alone, once every year, not without blood, which he offered for himself and for the heirs of the people. Skip down to verse 11, for time's sake. But Christ, being come an high priest of good things to come, by a greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is to say, not of this building, neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by His own blood, He entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. Jesus Christ, He was in the Garden of Gethsemane pretty much alone. His disciples went with Him a little ways and they fell asleep, and He went further. When they came and took Him, the Bible says, His disciples forsook Him and fled. He stood before Caiaphas alone. He stood before Pilate alone. Yes, He stood in front of the lost people and between the two thieves on Calvary as He was there. But at first the two thieves railed on Him, and people watched from a distance. He was there alone. He was buried in the tomb alone. He arose from the tomb alone. And after that, He went up to heaven, ascended back up to heaven, said, touch me not. And alone He entered into the Holy of Holies and laid His own blood on the mercy seat to obtain our redemption for us. I think that's a pretty good ministry alone. That's a better ministry than the public ministry, I say. I think, you know, I sometimes think of ministry and we think of public ministry, think of stuff we do in front of everybody, but Jesus Christ's ministry started and ended alone. And you know what? It wouldn't have mattered necessarily. Yes, it would have mattered to some people if He hadn't healed them. Some people would have gone hungry had He not fed the 5,000, but had He not passed temptation alone, we would not have a Savior today. It may be that our ministry, our greatest ministry, is seen by no one but God Himself. It may be that our greatest ministry is when we're alone. Think about it. If we give in to temptation when we're alone, we don't have a ministry. Or at least we don't have one like we could have had. How many Christians have been destroyed because they could not handle temptation alone? I think about Joseph. Joseph's greatest moment was not when he stood before Pharaoh and God gave him the dream and he interpreted. Joseph's greatest moment as a man and as a Christian was when that woman said, lie with me, and he was alone and there was no one there who could have told anything on him, and he said, I will not sin this wickedness before God. That was Joseph's greatest moment. Had Joseph given into that, everything else would have been ruined. There would have been none of the other. He would not have been able to stand before Pharaoh and give God's dream. Maybe our greatest ministry is alone. Can I say this? Maybe our greatest ministry will be alone in the prayer closet. Maybe that's it. You know, that really seems to move the heart of God and the hand of God, doesn't it? You know, it takes someone. I thank God for the public ministry we have here. But I want to ask us tonight, yes, I'm glad that we're going to Madagascar. I'm glad that there'll be a preacher there next Sunday morning preaching to them in their language and leading and singing and do so and doing all of that. But do those people have someone who goes out alone and prays for them? Because that's what they need. That's what God will hear. That's what will move the hand of God. That's what will bring, like this prayer meeting you're going to have on Friday night. That's what's going to make the difference. You may not be the best public minister and doing your thing, but if you can get out alone and make a difference by praying for someone else, and God will hear you and answer your prayer, that's a great ministry. A wonderful ministry. I wonder tonight, does my family, does your family have a dad who gets out alone and prays for God's protection on the family? Who prays for the marriage relationship? Who prays for the kids? Who prays that the kids would be saved at a young age? Who prays they would marry the right mates? Who prays and prays for that? Do the bus kids in this area? Do they have that bus captain in their area? Do they have someone who's gonna go out and knock on the door on Saturday? Do they have someone who's gonna go bring the bus by on Sunday? Or do they have someone during the week who's going to be on their face alone before God, bringing their name before God and praying for them? Do they have that? Because if they don't, who will? If they don't, who? If we don't for Madagascar, if we don't for here, who's going to? You ever this issue of sanctification? You ever you're fine. Whenever you really need to pray, and you ever really see yourself as best as we can before God as we really are, and you just feel the need to just come before God's throne and fall on your face, ask to be made more like Him, to love Him more, to serve Him better, to not just go through the motions, to not just, do the same old, but to really be drawn to Him, to know Him. You ever find yourself like that? You know where it is? Usually, it's usually alone. When you're out in prayer, doing that. Maybe our greatest ministry will be that we talked about the death and resurrection of Christ, that being His great ministry alone. How about the death and resurrection, death, burial, resurrection with Christ, the Bible speaks about in Romans chapter 6. Therefore, we are buried with Him by baptism into death, that is, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with Him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. Likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Paul said it best, I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. That's a ministry I can have. Only Jesus Christ could have entered and could have died and have been buried and risen and paid for our sin. But every day I get the chance to enter into that with Him, to reckon this old flesh dead with sin, and to want to walk in newness of life with Him. And that sure becomes a lot easier when it's not me trying to do it, but it's with Him, with Christ, knowing what He did for us and saying, Christ, I want to be a part of that with You today. Number two, I want to look at these verses just quickly. Number two, there are only three things. I want to notice number two, His great comfort alone. His great comfort alone. Look back at John chapter 16 and verse number 32. He said, Behold, the hour cometh, yea, is now come, that ye shall be scattered, every man to his own, and shall leave me alone. And yet, I am not alone, because the Father is with me. Man, in His hour of greatest need, when all His disciples forsook Him and fled, His Father was with them. And it sure makes a difference to have someone stand with you. And sometimes it makes all the difference in the world to have your Father standing there with you. Jesus Christ, we don't understand this, but He was all God and He was all man. And can I tell you this? Jesus Christ, the man, I believe, on the cross, the Bible says He bore our sins in His body. And on the cross, I believe that He cried out as a man, my God, why hast Thou forsaken me? As God, His God, as a man, had to turn His back on Him and judge Him for our sin. But He didn't cry out, my Father, why hast Thou forsaken me? You know why? Because Jesus Christ, as God in the flesh, you cannot separate the Father and the Son. They are God and they are one. And you cannot separate them. And in His hour of greatest need, His Father was with Him. His Father was with Him. That moment when we need Him most, that may come. That may come many different ways. That may come in a hospital room. That may come. That may come in our car going down the road. That may come when we get some news. That may some bad news that will shake us. That may come a moment at work. That moment when we feel alone and when we feel we need His comfort the most. And can I say, He is there. You see, Jesus Christ, look at these verses in John chapter 16, verse number 23. He said, and in that day ye shall ask me nothing. Verily, verily, I say unto you, whatsoever ye shall ask the Father in my name, He will give it you. Hitherto have ye asked nothing in my name. Ask, and ye shall receive, that your joy may be full. These things have I spoken unto you in Proverbs, but the time cometh when I shall no more speak unto you in Proverbs, but I shall show you plainly of the Father. At that day ye shall ask in my name, and I say not unto you that I will pray the Father for you, for the Father himself loveth you, because ye have loved me and have believed that I came out from God. You know what Jesus gave those disciples? When he left, he gave them through the Holy Spirit, as he promised in this chapter, the Comforter. He gave them that same relationship with his Father that he had. And you and I have that same relationship. We can, the Bible says, in our times of need, approach boldly the throne of grace and find help and comfort in time of need. Why? Because we have a Heavenly Father. And the Holy Spirit, the Comforter, is in us and will never leave us nor forsake us. And He is always there. And in our moments of greatest need, we can cry out to our Father, the God of all comfort. And it's amazing, that ministry of the Holy Spirit, that comfort arrives, doesn't it? And you've been there, haven't you? And I don't know when where it's been for you. I know where it's been for me. It's like whenever you know what to do. It's a moment of just fear or pain or you're alone or hurt, and all of a sudden you just cry out to God. You cry out to your Heavenly Father for help. And it's like a presence just enters that room. And what is that? That's the Comforter. Exactly what you need every time. Because Jesus Christ has tasted everything possible that you and I could go through. And He understands. And the Comforter is His gift to us. And that relationship with the Father is His gift to us. And it is there. I remember going to Bible college. When we left Bourbonnais, we went down to Oklahoma City, and we stayed the night at the Ross's house. And then you guys dropped me off for college the next day. And I remember we loaded all the stuff in the dorm room, and Mom and Dad and the brothers and sisters said goodbye, and they left. There I was alone, and it was kind of an overwhelming feeling. Some kids from this church are going off for the first time, many hours away from home. But I can remember that time when I sat there and thought, what do I do now? I'm alone. And I can remember a presence in that room. I can remember the Holy Spirit. I can remember when we went to France. I can remember when the first time we left 5 years ago, and we got on that plane and we left Chicago, and I wasn't telling anybody, but I was a mess. I was scared to death. My heart was pounding. I didn't have a return ticket in my hand, and I thought, oh no, what are we doing? And I didn't know the language. I didn't know where we were going to live. I didn't know anything. Here I was with myself, my wife, and this little baby, and here we go. We flew into Geneva, Switzerland, and then they picked us up at the airport, and they took us 2 hours to Albertville, France, and they took us up the three flights of stairs, or four, I forget what it was now, that little apartment there in the Alps, and they unlocked the door and showed us in, and they said, you know, here's the hot water heater, and here's this, and that little apartment, and then they said goodbye, and they left, and we were there alone. And it was overwhelming. And it really was. But we prayed. That presence came in that room. It was the Comforter at a time when we needed Him. And the Comforter did His ministry partly through that little book you guys gave us. And you guys made that book. And we looked at those pictures and saw your pictures and read the things from you guys had written us. And we listened to Dr. Ron Garris's message on when he preached on, when he's saying, God bless you, and how, and you tell someone, God bless you, the Lord will put his name on you, and so forth. And what is that? That's the Comforter. It may just be, like I said, that The time that we need our greatest comfort is when we feel the most alone. When we feel really alone. And that can happen even in a crowd, can it? When you feel like it's just you against the world. And that's when the Comforter shows up. And I want to say lastly tonight, His great joy alone. His great joy alone. Look at chapter 16 and verse number 20. All through these verses, here He is. He's telling His disciples that He's going to be coming up to this, the moment when it's the hardest, most difficult for Him. The Garden of Gethsemane is quickly ahead, and time is passing. His disciples are going to forsake Him. But he tells them, look at verse 20, at the end there, but your sorrow shall be turned into joy. He says the word again in verse number 21, for joy that a man is born to the world. And verse number 22, and you now therefore have sorrow, but I will see you again, and your heart shall rejoice, and your joy no man taketh from you. And verse number 24, He said, hitherto have ye asked nothing in My name. Ask and ye shall receive, that your joy may be full. In verse number 33, He said, these things I have spoken unto you, that in Me ye might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. And then in chapter 17, in verse 13, He says, and now come I to thee, and these things I speak in the world, that they might have My joy fulfilled in themselves. Man, put yourself in His shoes. Bible talks about when He was on the cross in Hebrews, it says, who for the joy that was set before Him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of God. The joy. And I was thinking about this, you know, what if it were us? What if it were me? Think about it. He had put His whole life, His whole time and effort and ministry into this small group of men. And in His time when He needed them, they were going to leave Him. One was going to deny Him and say, I never even knew Him, and curse His name. And yet, He was going to become sin for these people. He was going to become sin for us, even knowing us and knowing our sins in His foreknowledge, and knowing how we would fail Him. And time and time again, He still could say, it's My joy to go to that cross. My joy. Because His joy was not wrapped up in you and me. Yes, it was, we were His joy, but His joy, first and foremost, was in pleasing His Father. That's what He said over and over in these verses. My Father, I'm going to finish. I have finished the work that You have given me to do. My Father. And His joy was not wrapped up in people that could fail Him. His joy was wrapped up first and foremost in His Father. But you know what the truth is? As you read these verses, He did, part of that joy was providing salvation for all. Even though we would fail Him. Even though, as the disciples did, we would fail Him. Even though many would forsake Him. He had a joy at the cross. Why? Because He was providing. He was opening heaven's door to a lost world. And then there was joy in the reunion that was going to be coming with those disciples. Now think about that. In these verses, He talks about this. These guys are going to turn on Him. They're going to fail Him, forsake Him. One's going to deny Him. And He knew all that. He told them, I'm going to drink this cup and eat this bread with you anew in the kingdom. He told them, I'm not going to call you servants. I'm going to call you friends. What a blessing that He would have that attitude towards us. Yes, He knew that Peter was going to forsake Him, but He also knew Peter was going to stand up on the day of Pentecost and preach boldly His name. Thousands were going to get saved. He knew they were going to forsake Him, but He knew every one of them would march to a martyr's death for His name's sake. And He knew that thousands of people were going to be saved because of those men. And He knew that He was going to see them again. Read this chapter. He said, I'm going to be with you again. And all of that joy can be fulfilled in us. That My joy, He said in verse 13, that they might have my joy fulfilled in themselves. And every bit of joy we have is the joy we have in Christ Jesus. And through Him, we have joy in doing the Father's will. Do you know what? Yes, it's tough to say goodbye. And yes, it's hard to say. We have been saying goodbye for a month now. I am tired of saying goodbye. But you know what? There's joy in going back over there and doing what the Father has called us to do. There's a joy in that. And there is a joy in seeing people over there get saved. There's a joy. The same joy that Jesus had is available to us. And you know what? There's joy in that reunion that's coming someday when there'll be no more goodbyes. And when we say goodbye, it's tough. But thank God we don't say goodbye like the lost people say goodbye. I've been reading a book recently about the USS Indianapolis that transported the atomic bomb to Japan. On the way back, it got torpedoed and sunk. And it was a Private McCoy, the last boat to be rescued after over 4 days, 112 hours in the water. His boat was the last boat to be rescued. And it told about how when he said goodbye to his dad to get on that ship, his dad was a World War I veteran. His dad just sat there in the car and just his shoulders shook and he cried and he didn't know. You know, and I thought, you know, about these people that have to say goodbye. And they say goodbye not knowing anything. When we say goodbye, we know. If we don't see you again here, we'll see you up there. That's a different way to say goodbye. And we're fulfilling here and there the Father's will. And we're seeing people saved. And we have the joy of Christ. And someday, there will be a wonderful reunion. And I tell you what, I never feel like I'm home. I love being home. I love being with my family. And I love being at home, but I don't feel like I'm home until I put my legs under that table and we all sit down and we all have a meal together. And that day's coming for us someday. We don't know when it's going to be, but we know that someday there will be that great, great joy up there. And so this is a simple message tonight about Jesus alone. Maybe our greatest ministry is a ministry when we're alone. Resisting temptation, praying for somebody or some people, dying to self on a daily basis, that's tough. Maybe our greatest comfort is going to come at the time when we feel like we need it the most, when we feel alone. And for sure, our greatest joy can be fulfilled in us through Jesus Christ, even at those times, because our joy is not wrapped up in things of this world. Our joy is the joy of Christ. And it's fulfilled in our lives every day if we'll just allow it. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for tonight. I thank you for these people. I thank you for the joy that we have. Lord, as we say goodbye, it's a tough time. But Heavenly Father, it's a tough time, but it's not a bad thing. We get to know that we're serving you. We get to have your joy. We get to have your comfort. We get to do wonderful things because you allow us to, Father. And I thank you for it. Thank you for this church and what it's meant to our family. And I pray that you would bless the ministry here and us as we go to Madagascar. And I'll give it to you, Dad.